Now this morning, you get a little bit of a break from myself as well as Pastor Dennis. One of the things maybe many of you do not know is that I have the great privilege oftentimes of having a ministry intern through our church who oftentimes does a lot of background ministry stuff that you don't see, or sometimes some of you who are leaders will bump into some of the ministry interns from various seminaries that I've had. We have a homegrown one, and this morning we really wanted to encourage him and to practice his spiritual gifts. So we're having, maybe you didn't know that Brother Robert Wang, the older one, not the younger one, is finishing up seminary this year. And so for those of you who don't know him, he serves on multiple leadership teams. He's part of our Merge Family Adult Core Team as well as our Christian Education Core Team. And because he's doing a ministry internship this year, he's been forced to join the Crossing Core Team. So that's three ministries, if you're still counting. Plus, he works full-time, has a wife and two grown children, and was trying to finish his seminary studies. So working like a horse. That's what they teach us in seminary. So this morning, we're very privileged to have him guest speak this morning and to come and use what God has been putting into him in seminary to minister to all of us. So would you give him a warm welcome this morning, our brother Robert Wang.
Thanks, Josh. Okay, this is not breaking. I've been up here for so many times, but never been so nervous today. This is even worse than when I preached at Chinese congregation last year. But there's one person even more nervous than me. This is my wife. She's the greatest blessing that God gives me. I have so much to say about her, but that's not for today. First of all, I want to thank and praise God to give me the opportunity to attend the seminary. It is His good mercy and grace that I'm standing here today. I also want to take this opportunity to thank all of you, the church, to supporting me on my journey in seminary. Especially Pastor Josh for his guidance and mentoring. Although he is actually much younger than me, but he likes to call me young man. I have no problem with that. But I have a great deal of respect for him and enjoy the conversation with him so much. If Lord willing, I'll finish my seminary study this summer, hopefully in August. In the meantime, I'll be seeking his guidance on timing and location or whereabout for my for serving him full time. When Pastor Josh and I first settled down on when to preach in Crossing, original idea was to preach on Proverbs. And my first reaction was, oh boy, Proverbs is difficult to preach. And he said, right? That's his word, not mine. So I kind of went home and I started looking, okay, if by March, which chapter there will be on Proverbs? And try to prepare ahead myself. Thanks God, out of Pastor Josh's grace, our second meeting, he said, oh, you can choose your own passage. I said, okay, that's great. But then is what to preach then? You know, I have to look for a passage. But with a lot of prayer, I think God want me to preach not so much out of passage, but out of my life, my experience with Him. So today we'll look at a passage, but I think this passage is really reflect probably the most valuable lesson that God gave me of the day in my life. I'll be turning 28 two weeks later on Easter Sunday as a Christian. I'm a slow learner, actually. I'm pretty stubborn. And that's why I think it takes that long for me to learn a lesson from that. And I do pray that my sharing today will help you and encourage your walking with Jesus, with Christ. Would you bow and pray with me? Oh God, we really want to thank you and we just want to praise you. Because you are not just a God, you are also a loving Father. And without your love, we don't know where we are. We don't know who we are. We just want to give all the praise and glory to you. And we also want to humbly ask you to be with us right here, right now. Just enjoy our worship. And we want to raise all the praise to you and ask you to be with us. So we can enjoy your presence. We thank and pray in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. So why am I here? It's a question we probably ask ourselves from time to time. But the why am I here? The question itself doesn't tell too much of it. The question could be physically, why am I here? But most of often we talk about this question, we ask this question about when we are in a crisis or when we are in trouble. We try to figure out, well, how did I come to this state or in this situation? And then, how do I get out of it? Where do I go? I ask this question so many times myself. I ask this question when I walk into Safeway and then figure out and forgot what my wife wanted me to buy. I could ask this question when I work and I figure out and I couldn't figure out how to solve a problem. I also ask this question when I walk in the garage and forget what I want to take from out of the garage. I also ask this question one night when I woke up in the middle of the night and asking myself, what happened to my life? Why my life was a shipwreck? So the underline of this question is really not so much of these four words. But it's really about what the situation we are under when we ask that question. We could be lost and need a direction. We could feel trapped and need a way to get out of that pit hole. We are actually not alone in this. The four Gospels is full of a story like this. When we read the Gospels, we can see there are so many people following Jesus around and expect something from him. Expect an answer from Jesus about their situation. The book of Gospels doesn't exactly say what they are looking for or what the situation they are under, but Jesus knew. Jesus did that, didn't answer. But they don't accept that answer, they reject the answer. So it's not because Jesus did not give them answers, but it's because they did not listen or they refused to accept the answer. Today we'll use a passage in Matthew chapter 11 as one of those stories and learn from the teaching of Jesus about Matthew opened chapter 11 with John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask Jesus about, are you the one who is to come or shall we look for another? And Jesus gave them an answer and sent them away. And then Jesus turned around talking to the crowds that are following him, asking the question, why did you go out into the wilderness to see? In fact, that question that Jesus is asking, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? What do you want from, what are you looking for from me when you come to me? It could be the, and also the question can be, the underlying question could be, what problem in life do you have right now? Jesus knew what's in their mind. He knew why the crowd came to him. They were looking for answers for their problem in life. Then in verse 20 to 24, chapter 11, Jesus actually rebuked their belief and their unrepentant heart, and warned them about the unbearable outcome of the day of judgment. Then he made the proclamation in verse 25 to 30. It's just, that's what the text we're going to look at it, as his teaching for their unbelief. So let's look at the text. If you have the Bible, you can open the chapter Matthew chapter 11. We'll be looking at verse 25 to 30. Verse 25, at that time Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Verse 27, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Verse 28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. If we will break down the passage, it is very easy to break into three small segments. The first one is verse 25 and 26. Here Jesus actually gives thanksgiving for God's revelation. And the second one is verse 27 itself. Jesus is talking about Jesus, the only way to God's revelation. And the rest is 28 to 30. It's a Jesus open invitation to God's revelation. So the entire thought process for this passage is like this. In the first segment, verse 25 and 26, Jesus thanks God for his sovereignty and gracious will in revealing the secret of kingdom reality, such as the salvation or the wisdom of life to his people. Unfortunately, only the little children receive the kingdom reality, but not the wise and understanding. Usually we will think the wise understanding who will know more, but this is the opposite of here. So why are the wise and wise and understanding, and who are the little children? Little children here, Jesus doesn't mean the little children are those who are naive or ignorant, like little kids that don't know much. Actually, the little children that Jesus referred to are those who are humble and who are depends on him. Not so much about your age or or your knowledge, but it's your attitude. Wise and understanding, on the contrary, are those arrogant and who regard themselves independent from God and would do things their own way. The second segment, verse 27, Jesus makes a bold proclamation that he himself alone can reveal God and God's will. The Son in the text actually talks about Son of God or God the Son. The Father is talking about God the Father, not talking about the physical Father in physical sense. And so Jesus has the authority to reveal God's will to anyone that he chooses. The verse 28 to 30 is talking about Jesus will use that unique authority given to him by God the Father. He will extend the invitation to all who take up his yoke and learn from him. By doing so, he promises whoever comes to him will rest for the soul, will find the rest of the soul, especially for those who labor and are weary laden. So what is the yoke in verse 29 and 30? Yoke is harness that people put on the animal for labor work. Okay, it's usually for farming or pulling carts. A yoke can be a single or double. The picture one that's shown is a double yoke. It's very common in ancient Israel to use oxen for plowing the fields or pulling the carts. In the case of double yoke, as in the picture, you usually pair a young ox with an older one or an experienced one, so the younger one can learn from the older one. Or you pair a weak one with a stronger one, just in case if the weak one is too weak to pull the car by itself. So when Jesus talked about using a yoke as an analogy, the crowd can get the idea right away because they are very familiar with what a yoke is. Maybe not for us today. So the central message of this passage here is that crowds come out to wilderness to Jesus looking for something of their desire. And they're looking for Jesus to fulfill what their heart desire, but they won't find that in him. Instead of their desire, Jesus actually offers something better than what they're looking for. This something better is the rest of souls that he talked about in verse 29 and 30. Then the question for us is that what does this to do with me? What does that to do with us today? Let's look at the three things that we can learn. There are three things we can learn from this passage. The first one is to come to Jesus with humility to unlock God's grace. We talked about little children earlier, and we said Jesus teaches us that the humbleness is a prerequisite for us to receive God's grace. Come to me, Jesus said that. And Pharisee comes, scribes came, sinners came, the righteous came. They all came to him. But only those are humble receive Jesus' blessing. We see that all over we can see that in the book of Gospel everywhere. We see that with the leper in Mark chapter 1 who pleaded if you are willing, you can heal me. We see that in the Roman centurion with the sick servant in Matthew chapter 8, who said to Jesus, Lord, I do not deserve you to have you come under my roof, but just said the word and my servant will be healed. We see that all that kind of example everywhere in the book, Gospel. We need to be humble and continue to be humble like little children. It's about, be a little children is about that we have the dependency on God and not rely on our own understanding to handle all the aspects of life. Knowing that we don't know what lies ahead and need His guidance, His hand-holding, His comforting. It's to know God's gracious will to make all things to work together for us all the time, even at the time of crisis and suffering, and at the time that we don't feel His presence. The second thing we can learn from this passage is that come to Jesus, for He is the only way to God's grace. He is the only way to God's grace. You cannot find God's grace on your own, on our own. We cannot find God's grace with our knowledge or philosophy or anything. Verse 27 is what they call Apostle John's thunderbolt, because it resembles Apostle John's emphasis on God and Son relationship and the deity of Christ. We can see that in many places in the book of John, talking about the relationship of Jesus and God and who Jesus is. The most astonishing proclamation in the book of John is Jesus boldly say that I and the Father are one in chapter 10. And Pharisees, after they hear this, they actually want to stone him. And also in chapter 10, he also said, the Father is in me and I'm in the Father. Who is Jesus anyway? Yes, he's Son of God. He's God the Son. We all know that. And He is the one who reveals God to the world. Yes, and He is the I Am and the seven I Ams in the Gospel of John. But who is Jesus to us individually? Who is Jesus to us individually? Is He the one who saved us from eternal condemnation? Yes. He is the one who redeemed us, paid for our sin, and pull us from the world of darkness to the world of light for eternity. Yes, He's the one who died on a cross for us, buried and rose into life 3 days later. We all know and understand that. And we praise and give thanksgiving for His salvation. But who is Jesus to each one of us besides Son of God and Savior? We'll hold on to this thought and come back to this later. I also have another interesting question for you. Do you know in New Testament who knows Jesus, the person and the work of Him, His work the best? Anybody? Actually, it's the demons. They knew perfectly who he is and what he's capable of. They knew where he's from. And they knew his authority and sovereignty. And they had to bow down to his authority and sovereignty without any question. It's ironically that his own people, Jesus' own, God's own people, the Israelites, did not recognize him nor accept him. Are we any better today than those people back then? Just think about it. The third point that we can learn from this passage is we can come to Jesus to rest in God's grace. Come to me and I'll give you rest. That's what Jesus said. It's a great promise. The original text in Greek, I will give you rest, actually is one single verb. So you can say, you can translate, say, you know, I will rest you, but we don't use rest as a verb in English. I actually like the translation of I will make you rest even better. Because it's a verb in original Greek, it actually implies the subject, the Jesus, actually get into action and take the load from us. This is a promise from Jesus. You know, what a wonderful promise that he gave us. Wouldn't it be great if somebody today can take over our daily work, can go to work for us, and we can stay home? But the prerequisite for that is that we have to come to Jesus. We have to come to Jesus and take up his yoke and learn from him. What is Jesus talking about, taking up his yoke? He's actually talking about we have to leave behind what our understanding and what we know and learn things from him. Learn the nature of God's kingdom, learn who God is, who Jesus is, learn about what his salvation is all about. It also talks about we'll become his disciples. And become a disciple is not just become a student. A disciple back then is you follow your teachers, the rabbis lead, his lead and his teaching. It implies a personal relationship with Christ and relinquish our own control over to Jesus. That's what a disciple is. It implies the loyalty and obedience to his teaching and authority. In other words, we are to submit completely to Jesus in order to receive his promise and to rest in him. This whole passage speaks of how we can find the rest of our souls by coming to Jesus with humility and total submission to him. Because that's his promise, and he will carry the load and burden for us. Most of us heard my testimony last year. I was at the lowest point of my life. At that point, I already gave up everything. My ambitions in my career, my marriage, my family, even my beliefs. Somehow, in his miraculous mercy and grace, I pick up this book, a little small book called The Return of the Prodigal Son, A Story of Homecoming by Henry Nouwen. This book is about his own spiritual journey through visiting Rembrandt's famous prodigal son painting. It was through reading this book, God spoke to me and called me home and learned the most valuable lesson in my life. Here are some texts touched me the most. Allow me to read them to you. Yet over and over again, I have left home. I have fled the hands of blessing and run off to faraway place. This is the greatest tragedy of my life. Somehow I have become deaf to the voice that calls me the beloved. The true voice of love is a very soft and gentle voice speaking to me in the most hidden places of my being. It is a voice that can only be heard by those who allow themselves to be touched. Sensing the touch of God's blessing hand and hearing the voice calling me the beloved are one and the same. At that time, I could not believe, those texts actually spoke to me deeply in my heart. At that time, I could not believe God still called me the beloved in his soft and gentle voice and wanted to welcome me home. But the journey home faced some internal challenge, my own internal struggle. But there are more texts that I read that encouraged me. One of the challenges of the spiritual life is to receive God's forgiveness. We all have a tendency to reject God's forgiveness. And it is clear that the distance between the turning around and the arrival at home needs to be traveled wisely and with discipline. The discipline is what of becoming a child of God. This is where I learned the lesson of my life. The discipline of becoming a child of God. To me, is to accept the submission to God. And the submission is not so much out of duty or responsibility, but a response to his love. I called Jesus Christ my Lord and my Savior, but I actually did not submit to him completely. I did things in my own ways, serving with my own understanding, conducting my life with my own will and desire. The end result was a shipwreck. I thought I was wise. I may be smart, but definitely not wise. Who is Jesus to each one of us individually besides Son of God and Savior? Yeah, we call him the Lord. We call him Lord and Savior. But we call him Lord and Savior, but do we submit ourselves to him out of his love? Out of what he has done for us on the cross? If we call him Lord and Savior, should we follow his teaching and commandments without questioning? Besides, he is also God and know what's best for us and know what's lie ahead for us tomorrow. Also, like passage today, he is carrying the yoke with us as well. Come and meet Jesus with total submission in order to rejoice in him, just make perfect sense. Right? On a final note, there is usually a follow-up question after, why am I here? Which is, where should I go? the answer to the later one is actually far more critical than the former one. Do we know where we are going from here? Come and meet Jesus with humility and total submission, and He will give you the answer, because He is the answer. Let's pray. Oh God, we just want to thank You. We just want to praise You again. God, thank You so much for what You have done for us on the cross. Thank so much for Your love for us. Lord, we just want to come to You and humbly and submit ourselves to You. It's because Your love, not because all of our responsibility or duty. We thank You again for Your love and Your sacrifice. And we ask to touch each and every single one of us. And we humbly submit ourselves to You. We thank and pray in Your Son Jesus' name.